With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of Game Week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. Recording from Brooklyn, it's me, Brandon, and on the other line, it's my good friend and co-host, Josh.
Hello, Brandon.
Josh, I was expecting by the time we recorded this, and it's shortly after the Everton Crystal Palace game, that we would have some news of Gary Monk's fate. I'm kind of shocked that he's not fired yet.
I'm kind of shocked that Jose Mourinho is not fired yet. I guess there's just nothing making – well, the Gary Monk thing, I kind of – they don't want to fire Gary Monk, clearly.
Yeah, it'll be a very, very sad day in Wales when that happens.
They would have to really feel like they were officially in a relegation fight, which they are, of course.
Yes, they are. Drop. I mean, people have made the astute point that if you take the first month or the first four games away from Swansea, they're down at the same points as Aston Villa.
Yeah, that's true. But they also you could do that with any, like, you know.
Listen, on another plane of existence, Josh, Chelsea is actually good.
Are they? Do we know that? I watched that game. I don't think they are.
We'll get to Chelsea, certainly. We'll have a lot to say about that shortly. But we talked a lot about tears on last week's episode of Always Cheating. Crying again may be the theme this week. Assuming you can not hold it together. Josh, you had kind of a bad week here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hardly bad. You're still above the average points of 51. You had 59 minus 4 transfer penalty.
Right. But just the way that the week – and I don't want to turn this into a long, like, kvetch session where I just complain about things. But
don't kvetch. Just take us through where the points fell away for you.
Well, certainly not getting nothing from Sadio Mane on Saturday was very frustrating because I was debating between – when I brought him in 3 weeks ago, it came down to Sadio Mane or Ross Barkley in terms of who I was going to bring in. And so I brought in Mane. But right around that same time, I was debating between Harry Kane and Sergio Aguero, and I decided to bring in Aguero, which has also not worked out. And Deulofeu has looked great in every game and continues to not pick up assists. Had an own goal from Martin Skrtel yesterday when he was on track for 3 bonus points. So that was like a 10-point swing.
And not even a calamitous own goal. Like, he was just doing his job in that situation.
Yeah, just an unlucky own goal. Yeah. I love Martin Skrtel. Like, I wasn't even mad about it, really. And then today, yeah, there was the De La Feo nonsense. I really don't – I did not seem like a significant enough touch for me from Gareth Barry.
Well, Everton is famous. I mean, Romelu Lukaku, most of all Everton players, is famous for ghost assists, particularly last season. So
– yeah, I felt like I was both having and moderating a Twitter meltdown with the De La Feo thing. I don't know if you followed that at all. I must have commented – liked, reposted, like it was like 100 posts about De La Feo. Like it was a real, people were really having a moment about it.
I actually wasn't following it. I had a pretty decent week with 74 points and I was just chit-chatting away with our private league, making jokes, having a lot of fun. Uh-huh. It was a fun week for me.
It was. I was on target for 3 bonus points with Seamus Coleman too. And so I lost those late because Gareth Barry, who picked up 3 bonus points, missed his marker, and then Scott Dan scored again. Can we talk about Scott Dan for a minute? Because this guy is on fire.
No, we can talk. Yeah, we can talk about Scott Dan and how his idiocy robbed me of a Wayne Hennessy clean sheet against Sunderland. No, I'm not having this with Scott Dan. I mean, emotionally, I'm not having it. Yeah, as far as fantasy assets, perhaps.
All right.
But as a Wayne Hennessy owner, I'm concerned about those clean sheets at Crystal Palace. They're all heart, all hustle. Organization doesn't seem to be their strong suit, though.
Yeah, it was kind of. I mean, that whole game was being played basically in Everton's half of the field. They really could have. They could have scored more. I mean, I think they. You know, Lukaku was my captain this week. Hit the goalpost twice, I think. And there was almost a spectacular own goal on a Ross Barkley corner. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, that was the one with Connor Wickham. Hit it up against the crossbar. Yeah, was incredible.
That guy's terrible.
He is. Wonderful tattoo sleeves, though.
That's true. Yeah, he looks like he could be good at football, but he's not.
So all my moaning last week about Kevin De Bruyne showing up and scoring, what, like 16 points after I got rid of him, and mm-hmm. my Aguero transfer basically destroying my team. Mm-hmm. It all sort of came good again this week for me because Dele Alli was part of that double transfer that I made, and he mm-hmm. came off my – well, he didn't come off my bench, but I had to play him because I ended up keeping Aguero this week and set him on my bench. And there Dele Alli is coming in to get me 9 points. And I captained Ozil,
which worked out fine.
Yeah, it was fine. I think we discussed it was basically 50-50 between Lukaku and Ozil this week, and it was a margin of just 2 points between the two. And Aaron Ramsey, who we can talk about later in the pod as being the prime target for Arsenal assets, mm-hmm. he totally destroyed Ozil in this game because Ozil gave him a goal on a silver platter, which mm-hmm. would have been another 3 points for Ozil and sure 3 BPS. But instead, Ramsey squanders that and takes in a pass from Colin Chambers, mm-hmm. everybody's favorite. So then there Ramsey.
Yeah, I was singing Colin Chambers' praises in the last podcast. Much like Scott Dan, by the way, who was one of our performers for the second half of the season.
So here I am. I'm just in under 400,000. I'm at 399,196.
Yeah. So what are you thinking about? You and I on Friday, I was really debating what to do all week, and I mean it really couldn't have worked out worse. I mean the thing about Dele Alli, and because we were joking a couple weeks ago about how badly that worked out, and of course in the end it's kind of fine because you were able to keep him on the bench last week and, he came through big time this week.
Yeah.
It's important to remember that you can't look at this stuff in a vacuum because right now I'm feeling incredibly depressed about the 2 transfers that I made, which is that I finally cut bait with Aguero, even though I just brought him in. I can't deal with the stress of Aguero right now. Like he is incredibly expensive. He can't stay healthy this year. When he plays, he doesn't seem to have a lot of goal threat anyway.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's playing about 60 minutes a game. So I know he's getting his fitness back, but like with all these Christmas fixtures, like he could start like half of them. Like who knows,
Right.
Especially with the muscle injury, like you can't bring, you're not going to play him 90 minutes and 20 degree temperatures.
Right.
So I brought him out. I brought in Harry Kane, who got 1 point, and I brought in Eden Hazard, who got 2 points. So in the end, I burned 4 points to pick up 3 points. And I really would have better if I had just fallen asleep. If I had just like gotten smashed on Friday night and fallen asleep and not made any transfers at all, I would have more points today than I do.
So I know that what is you're doing next Friday.
That is, yeah, exactly. So that's very frustrating. But in the end, you know, Chelsea, they're away to Leicester next week. And maybe, I mean, who even knows? I mean, we'll get to Chelsea in a few minutes. But certainly Harry Kane at home to Newcastle is a fixture I'm very excited about.
Yeah, yeah. You're set up. You're set yes, up. You're coming hopefully off of a bad week, but you're set up for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the season, you know, I was talking with a friend of the podcast, Colin Bothwell, on Twitter a couple nights ago. And I was just saying that, you know, I really I had to mentally like or not even mentally, emotionally, I had to kind of check out of this season. You know, it's just like at some point you just can't the emotional investment. You got to reel it back a little bit, you know.
Yeah, didn't you say something like you have to set a new goal, basically?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is like so I wanted to bring this up because I feel like this is something that a lot of people are probably feeling right now, which is that, you know, like and I've talked about this in an earlier podcast, but, you know, I finished. So my final ranking last year was 1530 overall, right? So like, you know, top – almost top 1500, you know, 30 spots off. And so my goal this year was top 1000. And, you know, after like a rough first couple of weeks, I was like, well, okay, like top 10K. Mm-hmm. Like top 10K will be good. And then
– Lower.
Yeah, lower than it's like top 100K.
Lower.
And top 100K, I think, is still within reach.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Yeah. But so what you have to do is you just have to decide, okay, what do I want to play for? Like, what's the new goal that I'm setting for myself?
Yeah.
You know, like, do I want to, like, finish on the first page of the – of, you know, like the Hail Cheaters mini league?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, that's what everybody wants,
of course. As far as new goals,
what greater honor could there be, Brandon, than finishing the top 50 in the Hail Cheaters mini league?
None as far as I can tell.
So I think for me, I think I'm going to try to like join like some like second half league just to like, so I can like feel like
does
I have
such a thing
start.
Exist?
Well, the Transfer Hub guys are talking about starting a second half league.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so if you go to sugarlips.com, there might be some information about that there, starting in week 19.
I was thinking more like you like goals you set as a kid, like you just pretend that the floor is lava or something like that.
Yeah. I don't have the kind of personality that I can just say, like, screw it. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to, like, triple captain someone next week, and I just don't care anymore. I'm going to burn 30 points. Like, I just don't – I can't do that. I'm an inherently conservative player in the end, and I can't get away from that. You know, so I'm still going to try to field the best team I can. I'm going to try to be a little more differential aware, I suppose.
I'm glad you will, because frankly, it's rare to catch you on a bad season, and I don't want you to cheapen my impending victory over you in our 50 buck cup head to head competition.
Yeah, so you nicked me this week. So you're up nine wins to six.
9-6. Yeah, keeping a comfortable distance, which is the only thing that allows me to sleep at night.
And this is a goal for me too, because, you know, three wins with 23 weeks to go, that seems that I can catch up on.
Oh yeah, yeah. People's fantasy teams can just go completely tailspin topsy-turvy.
Exactly. So in the end, if I can win $50 from you, I'll consider this season a great success.
So I was actually pretty happy with my transfers this week. I brought in Ross Barkley for Alexis Sanchez, and I also brought in David De Gea for Joe Hart. Now, that was a little painful because Joe Hart was predicted to be out of the lineup for the weekend, and Willy Caballero was going
to
play.
Oh, yeah. So I actually didn't get to the second half of my story. So I was debating what to do on Friday, and I just – it was such a difficult decision. And so I finally texted you around – or G-chatted you around like 4:30 or whatever, and I was like, let's go get a drink. And it became very clear about 15 minutes into our post-work drink that all I wanted to do was talk about the
two. Yeah, you basically were like, sat me down in a chair, thrust a drink into my hand, and you're like, sit there, shut up, and listen to me.
But then I had to hear your story about Joe Hart, which was a sad story.
It was a sad story, but it worked out in the end because
why Thursday, though? Like, why not just wait until Friday when the press conference is coming?
You know, I'm a little itchier with team value than you are. I mean, I don't think you give any credence to team value. But I felt the tide turning, and I wanted to make some money.
Yeah, I don't give a lot of credence to team value. I mean, there are people who are very smart who play this game who do. I just to me, it never seems like it's an issue. I feel like it's very rare that I'm maxed out in my bank. I feel like it was a bigger issue a couple of years ago. I don't know. This year, like the last couple of years, it seems like there are so many. Maybe it's because all the Leicester players are performing so well this year, and so everyone's kind of got money in their bank because they've got these like $6 and $7 million players.
Right. Right. Well, I was happy with it in the end because Man City is having a real problem with clean sheets. We actually got a question from Scott Gill on Facebook about City's record with and without Kompany. Mm-hmm. It seems like they can't win without him. Yeah. So the stats, as we believe them to be, would be one goal with Kompany and 15 goals against Man City without him.
Yeah, with Kompany, Man City have won. So Man City played 8 matches with Vincent Kompany. They've won 6 of them, and they've lost. They lost. They won 6. They drew 2. They did not lose any. Without him, which is 7 matches, so almost the same number. They have 3 wins and 4 losses. So 20 points with him, 9 points without. Which is pretty telling, I think.
It is really damning, and I think that what that says is to have any Man City defender, it has to be Kolarov because he's that goal threat. I mean, he quite nearly had a goal against Stoke.
He
that
did.
That was a carbon copy of the one he had the week before.
Yeah, it was a really – I mean, they didn't have Yaya Toure either, and so, you know, no Toure, no Kompany, no Sergio Aguero. I mean, you basically ripped the heart of that team.
Yeah. So I'm happy to have replaced Joe Hart with De Gea, even though it cost me 4 points, and I ended up getting 1 extra point out of it with De Gea getting that clean sheet. And then I brought in Barkley for Sanchez, which has more or less allowed me to keep Sergio Aguero on the bench without having a whole lot of second thoughts.
Now, are you concerned that he may not start this weekend? Because it sounds like that's now in doubt.
I am concerned about that, but I am committed to riding it out for at least one more week. I know that sounds crazy.
I hope that he like doesn't play through the Christmas fixtures, and you're still holding on like 7 weeks from now.
I'm gonna be like Linus in the pumpkin patch, waiting for the great pumpkin.
I mean, that is God. Is that not just the perfect? Like analogy for what Aguero's been like this year.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're like 5 goals. He's here with all the gifts for all the good boys and girls.
I mean, if you can just look past the one again, the Newcastle game, right? I mean, it's Newcastle. It wasn't like he destroyed an overmatched opponent over the course of 20 minutes in one game.
Yeah.
If you look past that, then he's getting John Joe Shelvey is like destroying him this year from a fantasy point of view. You know,
I'm not going to make a super.
I mean, Mark Albrighton is like kicking his ass.
He is. Yes, he is. He's probably sleeping with Aguero's wife as we're recording this podcast.
He's taken his prize.
I mean, I'm not going to make a really compelling case to get Aguero, but I'm happy to have him on my bench because, I now have $4.5 million in the bank. So I'm free to basically do anything with my team as I please. Right. Aguero isn't preventing me from that. I mean, I'm only able to do that because I also got rid of Alexis Sanchez. But also, Aguero is a possible differential. Yeah. But to me, if I have him and it's not totally screwing up my team as of this week, let's be clear about that, I'm happy to have him on my bench for the time being.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, certainly if he does play on Saturday at home to a struggling Swansea team, you're going to be feeling pretty good about that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I it's funny because I was just talking about how much money I have in the bank, but I really am thinking about kind of a logical move for me would be to drop. And actually, this is another question that Scott Gill asked, another part of his question, which is what happened to Sadio Mane, basically? And we don't really know.
Well, did anything happen to Sadio Mane? He is, he's like a Bolasie-esque figure.
I mean, he looks great. I mean, he scored against Liverpool in the Capital One Cup midweek, and he's looked. You know, I mean, and he was playing an Aston Villa team that he scored a hat trick on in like 2.5 minutes last year.
Yeah, but if
you actually came over for that match. You came to my apartment.
He scored a hat trick while I was. I swear I'm not making this up because it was a very long line at Starbucks. But he scored that hat trick while I was waiting in line at Starbucks. On my way over to your apartment.
Right.
It was incredible.
If we were sponsored by someone other than Starbucks, if we were sponsored by like Dunkin' Donuts, would you have changed that to Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, Tim Horton, if you're listening right now. I should also plug the great site TalkSport Live, who do great radio commentary on Premier League games. And I was listening to that hat trick through TalkSport Live. It was insane.
I don't know if TalkSport is the radio provider in the UK. I must be, because they're all English announcers. I guess they could be the international announcers, but they are so fantastic. I mean, they're fantastic
because they're not concerned about being nice. Like they're unafraid to tear players down for being awful.
Oh, and just for being bad, not even playing bad.
Yeah.
Like I remember there was a game last year where they were thinking about bringing on Gabriel Obertan. Like, I think he was getting ready to come on the pitch. This is when Alan Pardew was still there.
Uh-huh.
And one of the announcers just said, if they bring Gabriel Obertan into this match, then Alan Pardew should be fired.
Yeah. He's not even a footballer.
He's not even a footballer.
It's true, yeah. These guys you get on TV are so earnest, and
they have to be, right? Because it's so
that, or like guys like Lee Dixon, who I can't even listen to. All he wants to tell you is, "Well, back in my day, that was a clean tackle."
I think the TV people, it's a little more likely to go viral. I feel like the radio announcers, they talk like no one's even listening to them. which is what makes them great. They talk like they're just like in a bar.
Yeah.
You know. Anyways, we're getting off track here.
Yeah. Well, we promised we weren't going to get too sidetracked.
But just to get back to it for a minute, I think that Sadio Mane to Kevin De Bruyne is a transfer that I'm definitely thinking about making this week. Yep. Pretty simple one. Then I get, I don't have any Man City coverage right now, which is a little bit of a concern.
Okay, so we're recording this before the game for Game Week 15 is fully updated, so we don't have your cut and dry standings for the Hail Cheaters Mini League. But we have to give a special shout out to William C's Triple Captain Hazard Game Week 1, who jumped up to first place in the table after the weekend's action. He had a total score of 891 coming into this Monday fixture.
Yep, excellent.
And we're also going to point out top scorer so far as we can tell here in the Hail Cheaters League this week. It's Conrad Poole and the Vardy boys with 87 points. Now, you look at anybody who scored over 80. Josh, take a guess as to why they scored so high.
Did they captain Mahrez?
Yes. Yeah, we had two guys that I saw just clicking through the Hail Cheaters League, at least that captain Mahrez, both over 80 points.
It was a nice hat trick to have, because in the end, you can sort of be like, oh, well, it's not that exciting to have to have a hat trick from Mahrez because everybody owns him, but his ownership is still only like 55%, and even if you exclude dead teams, people who aren't really playing competitively, you're still looking at like 65-70%. And of that group, a lot of people, at least, it seems like everyone that we follow on our Twitter feed, had him on the bench this week.
Oh, yeah. I can't stress it enough. Have you not learned your lesson?
Yeah, you have to play Mahrez and Vardy every week. Wait until they go like 2 weeks without scoring before you even think about it.
People are just getting too touchy with Leicester, and they want to be the first one off the bandwagon, but as evidence, there's no reason to get off.
Yeah, I mean, even if you get a 2 point, I mean, like, so looking at his last six fixtures from Mahrez, it's 6 points, 15 points, 2 points, 9 points, 2 points, 21 points. So, I mean, it's really excellent form. I mean, no one gets attacking points every single game week. I mean, certainly not Sergio Aguero or, even someone like Kevin De Bruyne, who feels like an incredibly, very consistent. Mesut Ozil is the only one who gets attacking points every single game week.
Right, yeah. He is the metronome of the FPL right now. No huge returns like Mahrez's 21 this week, but you count on him for at least an assist every week. Let's make a quick prediction, Josh.
Okay.
Riyad Mahrez, at the end of the 2015-16 season, will he be in the top 5 point getters for the game as a whole?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Top 3?
The only thing that would get him out of the top 5 would be if he like moves to PSG or something in January. I think
is that going to happen? Is Leicester going to be taken apart during the January window with Vardy and Mahrez going?
They're going to be taken apart eventually. I don't know if it'll be in January, if it'll be at the end of the season. I actually don't think it'll be in January because given the results of this game week, and we'll talk about this a little bit when we get to Liverpool, they have to be a legitimate shout to actually win the league. I mean, it seems crazy. It seems like there's no, I don't know. I guess there's still a long time to go.
I think it's easier to say a genuine shout for top four.
For Champions League spot. Yeah.
Why would they leave the team in the middle of this season?
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, I mean, they're not like a incredibly rich club. So if somebody came along and offered them, you know, Gareth Bale type money for Mahrez, which they wouldn't. I mean, he's not young enough, and he's only proven over the course
of what, like 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good the second half of last season too.
Yeah,
and he's still fairly young. I think he's like 24 or 25.
Yeah,
but you know, he's not going to get crazy money. He'll get like $40-50 million, you know, just like he'll get like Juan Mata money.
Juan Mata money. We can dare to dream.
Yeah, Chicago money. Juan Mata
money. All right. So we picked out a few key fixtures from game week 15, which was a crazy ass game week.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about the Hail Cheaters, our league in the, on Twitter. Once all the points are updated, we'll talk a little more on there.
Yes, absolutely.
Give some people the shout outs they deserve.
Yeah, and hey, it's never too late, everybody out there listening who is a cheater but hasn't joined yet. You can take your points into our mini league. Just go to alwayscheating.com and click the league tab, and we've got our auto join button right there.
All right.
All right, so in game week 15, the first crazy result of the weekend was Stoke 2, Man City 0. And there's a lot to talk about here is in terms of fantasy assets, attacking and defensive.
Yeah, I thought Arnautovic was a player who was incredibly inconsistent the last couple of years. I mean, he was not even a player who I know you talked about him briefly a few weeks ago, but certainly last season, he wasn't anybody you'd even think about bringing in from a fantasy perspective.
No.
I mean, you know, he had a run of one or two games. I actually may have even owned him for a week last year, but he just wasn't I mean, given it, look at his price, right? He's priced at $16 million. He's priced at
wow.
He's priced at $6 million, but for $6 million, you're getting so far in the season 5 goals, 2 assists, and 8 bonus points.
That's Wijnaldum territory right there.
And how many goals should he have scored in this match?
He should have had 4 goals.
I think it was painful
to watch that. Just because I didn't have a dog in the fight, I wanted him to get that hat trick, and he put one off the post and missed that header by millimeters.
I don't understand how a team. I know they didn't have company and Yaya Toure in this game, but how can a team as rich as Man City, who have really been, you know, they're in year what, like 8 or so of their project, you know, this like take over the soccer world project.
Yeah,
how they could look so bad in 2 of the last 3 game weeks, right? I mean, the loss to Leicester, the loss to Liverpool a couple weeks ago, and now this match to Stoke City. I mean, it's more of an overall question than it is really a fantasy question, but it's kind of crazy, right? Like, they had a run there where they were winning these 5-1 games. You thought, okay, this is it. They're going to, like, just – they're going to roll the league. You know, they're going to end up winning by 10 points. And, you know, now they're in third place, and I don't know. Like, you just don't know where the goals are coming from.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, all goes to Stoke in this game. And I wanted to talk quickly about Stoke defense, because everyone has Jack Butland, who is doing fantastically well still.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
4.9.
Yep.
Yeah, 4 saves and a clean sheet here. But isn't it time for us to start talking about other defensive assets on Stoke?
Or doubling up on
Stoke. Yeah, Glenn Johnson in particular is a guy who...
What about Wolfshide? He has a weird... The actual way his name is pronounced...
Wolfshide?
Wolfshide. Yeah, Wolfshide is $4.4 million and has picked up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He has picked up 6 clean sheets in the last 8 games.
And then you got Jeff Cameron, who's playing out of position in the midfield. I mean, he's not exactly had a lot of goal-scoring threat.
Yeah.
But he's 4.4, and he's going to pick up a clean sheet playing in the midfield. Like a full-on defender clean sheet.
Honestly, you really couldn't go wrong with any of those. I mean, there are 5 midfield. And their price is a lot better than it used to be. I remember back in the day, all of the Stoke defenders were a little more expensive. They tended to be between 5 and like 5.5 million.
Yeah.
So it felt like more of an outlay. But yeah, I mean, I really
think it's probably complicating the process a little too much to do a rotational double up. So when you don't like the Stoke fixture, you play... Butland, but when you do like it, you play Butland plus a defender.
But we were talking on an earlier podcast about we're waiting for that team to show up that didn't have very expensive defenders and was showing really strong, consistent defensive results. And I think we finally found it in Stoke, because I mean, there are 2 different 4.4 million midfielders right now who you could pick up who are very consistent, you know, clean sheet earners.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was very elegant, but you
getters.
You getting that? Earners. Yeah, getters. I mean, let's look at their fixtures.
Earners sounds more honest, I think.
You've got West Ham away, which you know, I'm planning to start Butland for that game. Crystal Palace at home. Man U home. I mean, at this point, Man U, it's not clear if Man U is going to score another goal this season.
That's
Man U at home isn't that intimidating. You know, then I mean, it's like up and down. It's not amazing, their run of fixtures, but it's certainly good enough for a 4.4 million defender.
Oh yeah,
but it's you wouldn't feel obligated to start every week.
No, for sure, definitely worth a look. Shaqiri looked fantastic in this game too. He looked like the Shaqiri that was promised to us.
It was.
Yeah, a lot of promises were made, Josh. I don't know if you were at that meeting.
I was, actually. That was the board meeting, right? I can't believe you've got this far into the season without mentioning we're both on the Stoke City board of directors.
Yeah, you think, well, you know,
think that would have come up sooner.
Conflict of interest and all that. but yeah, okay. So I mean, Kevin.
To go into this a little more for a minute. I mean, I feel like we've barely talked about Stoke City through the first 15 weeks of the season. We talked about Jack Butland quite a bit.
Yeah, but they have been so under the radar. When we talk about them, we basically in hushed tone say, wouldn't it be great to be a Stoke City fan for what's coming?
Right. And it's still
– the future is coming.
If Shaqiri looks like he did in this match more of the season, then he's a really interesting option at 6.6 million. Very, very reasonable price. Actually, he's down 0.4 from his 7 million starting price.
Yeah.
He had two assists, really could have had more if Arnautovic finished better. Now, granted, Arnautovic is the one you probably want to pick up because he's actually even cheaper than Shaqiri. But it's really worth watching that midfield because a lot of people have a little money in the bank. It might be worth taking a punt on a Stoke midfielder as your fifth midfielder.
They just have some weird results earlier in the season that give you pause, like losing 2-0 at home to Watford and then drawing with Newcastle.
Right,
and but those are the kind of Sunderland last week.
But those are the kind of results you'd expect from a mediocre team, which is what they are.
Right,
but I'm saying they're a mediocre team that has some fantasy players that are very valuable.
Yeah,
as a fantasy owner, I do not think they're going to finish in the Europa League spots even this year. But I do think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities to pick up clean sheets along the way.
Yeah, Glenn Johnson, I'm looking at you, buddy.
Yeah, and I'm looking at you, Wolves Child.
Wolf Child. this week did vindicate my getting rid of Kevin De Bruyne. He looked like the Kevin De Bruyne I dropped 2 weeks ago in this game.
Yeah, and now if I bring him in, that's going to be a real Freaky Friday situation.
Now, we talked about Aguero, but David Silva is back from injury. He started this game, and he looked wildly off the pace.
Yeah, you were really disgusted. You sent me some text that was really...
Yeah, I sent you some like, crazy Photoshopped images of his head on a fat woman's body.
speaking of Photoshop, I tried to make like a homemade Photoshop a couple days ago. And it was I took the Captain Ron poster, you know, with Kurt Russell.
Okay.
And I took a photo of Romelu Lukaku, and I tried to put it on Kurt Russell's head.
Is this a true story?
Yes, it's true. And I wanted it to be Captain Rom.
Okay, I like it.
And then I was going to write an M over the N. And I really have no graphic design skills, though. So, Brandon, if you want to tackle this, please go ahead.
Well, Photoshop has a reputation for being among the most obtuse software programs on the planet.
All those levels. It's very complicated.
Yeah, yeah. Layers.
Yeah. Levels, right. Two levels of knowledge.
All right, so Silva, it's best to stay away from him. I mean, if you really have to invest in the Man City midfield, I think you're right. Kevin De Bruyne, when he's on, and that's the way to go. All right, next up, we want to talk about Newcastle versus Liverpool. Speaking of promises made, Liverpool were basically the title contenders going into this game, and we got a real reality check.
Yeah, I actually texted you on Saturday after Chelsea lost, and I said, "Mark it down. Liverpool is going to win the league this year." And then the next day, they just lay a rotten egg in Newcastle. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, Newcastle have a few fixtures like this every year, right? This is something that we've seen in years past where Man City or Man U come in and Newcastle have looked terrible. This used to be like an Alan Pardew special where Newcastle would have conceded like 300 goals in the last like 120 minutes of play.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, all right, you got a captain, whoever you've got in this team. Everyone was talking about, oh, you got to bring in Daniel Sturridge. You got a captain Sturridge. and honestly, I was a little worried. You know, all I had was Martin Skrtel. And I thought, God, you know, I really wish I had, you know, two or three. I was even like, oh, I wish I had Firmino. You know,
Joe
like
Allen even.
Joe Allen, you can give me anybody. And yeah, they just, so who knows? I mean, part of it was just,
I think that the, I know, think Jurgen Klopp Newcastle really well. Flubbed the team setup. Because Firmino, it's not a secret. He looks completely lost in that midfield without Coutinho. And Jordan Ibe was fluffing everything down the right-hand side. He's basically playing like he was Iron Robin or something like that. And no disrespect to our wonderful Yanks on the U.S. men's national team, but Ibe looked like he should be playing for the U.S., like all athleticism and no technique, no nuance to his game.
I like that we have the crap, Arjen Robben and Jordan Ibe, and we have the crap Cristiano Ronaldo and Gerald Deulofeu.
Yeah, exactly. come to the Premier League for crap players.
Yeah, for your ersatz players.
I think I felt a little burned by Ibe because Klein was playing down the right-hand side with Ibe, and I'm a Klein owner, and Ibe made no effort. He made like an anti-effort to involve Klein in the play.
Yeah,
and Klein was just like running up and down the field, like, what am I even doing? Just wasting my energy. And I would just put his head down and dribble with the ball into somebody.
Yeah, not his finest game.
I don't want to be such a hater. I have liked Ibe in the past, so it could just be an off game.
So does this make you I kind of know the answer to this already, but I'll ask you anyway. Does this create any interest at all for you in Newcastle players?
No, absolutely not.
I feel the same way. I mean, they're just. I mean, they may not get relegated this year. They seem to find a way to. I don't want them to get relegated. I like Newcastle. It's fun to have them in the league.
Yeah,
I love their fans, but it's.
I mean, this result probably saves Steve McLaren's job. Maybe, I don't know.
For now, yeah. I still think David Moyes. By January 1st, I'd be surprised if David Moyes wasn't the head coach.
Yeah,
if he wasn't.
There's talk of Moyes maybe going to Swansea.
Oh, is that
like
right? That?
How do you like that?
I don't know how serious it is. I don't know how I feel about that. I guess that makes sense. I mean,
Newcastle does feel more Moyes-y, doesn't it?
It kind of does, doesn't it? I don't know. I mean, he's from Scotland, so you know, it's pretty close.
I guess we have to talk about Wijnaldum here, and he is a total troll. He got his 4-goal game, and then what did you hear from him since? It was like one assist in 4 or 5 games. And then here he is. I mean, he had a spectacular finish on that second goal and definitely worked his ass off and made a great run to get the first assist on that Skrtel own goal. But the Newcastle team is just too much of an unpredictable mess for you to bet on it. It's not a differential.
No, I agree. It's just there are other places to find. I mean, like we just talked about Stoke, right? Like you can find the same kind of value on that Stoke team. And it's probably a little more consistent.
Yeah.
And still as differential as, you know, still as much of a differential.
Right.
So the converse of the question I asked you a minute ago is, are you less excited about Liverpool given what you saw in that Newcastle game?
No, I think that game was a huge learning experience for Klopp. I think he was able to pick out probably a lot of players that will benefit only from a particular setup, and Christian Benteke, Jordan Ibe being particular ones. I think you'll probably see a lot more of Joe Allen and Adam Lallana in that squad after that game.
Yeah, I think if Daniel Sturridge had been healthy, I feel pretty confident in saying that he would have started over Benteke.
Yeah, how many times did Benteke even touch the ball in that game?
He had a very poor game. I don't know that this
offense... He didn't seem really prepared to run. At all.
He doesn't seem like a good fit for this team, really. And I understand why Sturridge didn't play just as a precaution. I think he is healthy. And I really wish Coutinho had been healthy because I really wanted him to be the player I transferred in instead of Eden Hazard.
I still feel good about that Liverpool defense. I feel good about that defense keeping it tight. I mean, so long as Dejan Lovren doesn't try to tackle people in the center circle as he's prone to do and miss those tackles.
Yeah. Also, how many Dejan Lovren could have scored like 2 goals in this match near the end? He had a couple of
he had a clean look at goal off of his head.
unmarked headers twice, yeah. And both chances he wasn't even close. Yeah. Obviously, they don't want to be starting him. Dejan Lovren's terrible, and yeah. If Saka were healthy, he'd be starting over him.
Yeah. It's a peculiar result, but I think it's not a knee-jerk game. There's no reason to go knee-jerk with Newcastle or against yeah. Liverpool, don't you think?
I do think so, and I just think that Coutinho should be back by next weekend. And I think once he's back, we'll see a totally different Liverpool. And their fixtures coming up are excellent, too. They're home to West Brom, away to Watford, home to Leicester, away to Sunderland in the next four. Four excellent fixtures. Yeah. And, actually, it's funny because I was talking about Mane to De Bruyne, but if Coutinho is healthy, then that might be another place I'd look to.
Okay, so the next fixture we're going to talk about is Chelsea 0, Bournemouth 1. Take us back a week to the Always Cheating podcast and the conversation we were having about Eden Hazard.
So Eden Hazard looked pretty good in this match. He didn't score. They had a clear penalty shot at the end. I don't know if you saw this. I mean, a player literally stuck out his hand to stop a ball rolling across the pitch. I mean, yeah. The hand was out in a way that actually like stopped a pass from going through. It was not like a 70-yard bullet that could have seen like that.
I mean, the other way to read that is the defender for Bournemouth went into that sliding motion before the ball was released. And his arm was there. The ball.
But as a defender, he's responsible for not having his arm flailing out. It wasn't like it was close to his body.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
the point is,
it's not worth arguing about. Necessarily disagree with you.
No, we both agree that I'm right. And so, Eden, he's just not getting the penalties he was last year because maybe it's because Jose Mourinho is such an ass and the refs just don't want to give him any sort of benefit of the doubt. I mean, I know that Mourinho is like way over the top about how many penalty shots they haven't had this year.
Yeah.
But certainly like half the time he is right. And seems to be proven right in the video evidence later. So
Bournemouth did get a lot of benefit in this game, and Glenn Murray's goal was offside.
Yeah, and a complete fluke goal, like utterly against their. I mean, Bournemouth was not even playing to score. Like, there was no. It was kind of a game that Arsenal used to play all the time. Arsenal would constantly lose 1-0 games like this a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Just a stupid, stupid goal. I mean, I feel bad because I was really talking up the Chelsea defense, and certainly looked like the right call up until the 84th minute or whatever that goal was scored. Just a weird fixture, weird team. I thought Fabregas looked really poor. I thought Oscar looked unbelievably bad.
I texted you at the start of the game and I said, I'm watching Oscar this game because I could see him turning the corner in this game. Basically looking for somebody to turn it on for Chelsea. He looked awful.
I was frustrated that nothing happened with Hazard. He did have a couple pretty good shots on goal. I feel like at least he was part of the attack. Like, he was actually trying to do things. I felt like you had a lot of players like Pedro who had a couple of good shots on goal, but it didn't feel like he created his own offense. He wasn't, unless he had the ball and was just trying to make something happen on his own. It wasn't like he was creating a threat that was pulling defenders away from the rest of the attack. It just, Ivanovic looked awful as well. Yeah. There's nothing we can say that hasn't been said a million times or elsewhere about this Chelsea team, but it's just such a disaster. And from a fantasy point of view, you can't have any of their players right now, I don't think. No, I mean,
you can't.
Their fixtures coming up could not be better. But I'm certainly not going to transfer. Okay, so
I said it last week, going into a Bournemouth home game, which should be the most plum fixture for any team in this league this season.
Right.
And I pleaded with you to not get involved with Chelsea.
I know. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I just couldn't say no. Hey, I pleaded with you to start Andre Ayew a couple weeks ago, and you didn't do that. So I guess we're both do our told you so's.
Yes, fair enough. Yep. So
let me ask just quickly though. At Get Noise asked us, picked up Hazard for the good run of fixtures. Hold or cut losses. Move to Ramsey and save cash in the process. So basically, do you stick with do you stick or twist with Hazard right now?
I guess I
should answer this as someone who actually has Hazard.
Oh yeah, please go and then I'll give my hot take.
Okay, so I think you probably need to stick with. I don't know. I mean, I'm planning to stick with them. Leicester and Sunderland the next
two. You sound so sure about it.
No, I don't feel great about it. but I'm not sure it's worth burning a transfer over.
Oh, hell no.
No, I think that, especially home to Sunderland a week from now, I mean, anybody who doesn't have a single Chelsea player at home to Sunderland in a couple weeks is definitely going to be a little concerned. I mean, even given how bad Chelsea have looked this year.
Yeah.
So
the chance is there. Yeah, you can negative talk Chelsea all you want, but I mean, and that's the temptation that got everybody into this Bournemouth mess, is that the chance, even when Chelsea is 19th place in game week 37, the chance will still be there.
Because it's not like we actually think that they have no attack. It's just that there's not in sync at all. I mean, obviously they have any number of great players in that team. And so it's even if we agree, as I think I'm finally willing to agree on, that like they're not, that they're like a mediocre team this year, like they're like a top half of the table team.
Yeah, they're playing like a bunch of slighted teenagers. Like they're in an emo band. They all don't want to be there. They're all too cool for school. Cesc Fabregas is public enemy number one as far as that's concerned.
But even your average top half of the table team, like, let's say Swansea, at least Swansea in most years, like they're still going to win the occasional game 4-0, you know? And so Chelsea, even if, I don't know. So eventually you'd think they're just lucking to some goals. So the point is, I mean, I'm not saying you should triple up on Chelsea players, but if you already have Hazard or whomever,
I love how the conversation has turned from eventually they'll turn it around to, well, eventually they'll get lucky and score a goal.
Well, I don't want to be a little – I want to temper my enthusiasm in last week's podcast I don't know how you could watch this Chelsea match and be at all excited about how they looked. They looked really poor. I mean, they had the ball the whole second half, but there was just that – you know, Diego Costa was really trying. I mean
– it was like the last stand of the Alamo, Chelsea charging that Bournemouth defense for the second half.
Yeah, they really – there was – they weren't in the box a lot. And I felt like Hazard was really isolated on the
there
left.
There was a moment where Ivanovic got the ball out on the right, and he was looking to put a cross in, and every Chelsea player was just standing motionless in the box. And they're like, well, what's he going to do? Nobody was making a run to the ball. Nobody was trying to find space or open a channel or draw a defender.
And it really makes you question why, you know, Andre Schürrle, Kevin De Bruyne, Juan Cuadrado, like all of these players who are coming up through this Chelsea squad.
Romelu Lukaku,
we're shipped off like kind of quickly, right? I mean, De Bruyne only had one season on that team.
Like one game against Hull City, and then they're like, bye.
Yeah, very
Your
weird.
Your hair is too strange.
And you know, De Bruyne and Lukaku were on that second place Wolfsburg squad in the Bundesliga last year. And wait, did I say De Bruyne and Lukaku? I meant De Bruyne and Schürrle. Yeah. And Lukaku obviously, you know, just scored his 50th goal in the Premier League for Everton.
Yeah.
Didn't score a single goal while he was at Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not sure about Cuadrado, but certainly, like, there were a lot of players who would be bench players who would be earning spots in that starting lineup right now. I mean, I'm sure Eden Hazard doesn't want to play Oscar, right? I mean, Oscar has looked awful. So anyway, I think despite how enticing it is to pick up Aaron Ramsey, I mean, there are a lot of interesting midfield options right now, as we've kind of talked about a little bit in the podcast.
Yeah, that was the big takeaway from the Arsenal-Sunderland game, 3-1, was Aaron Ramsey was running through the middle, looking very motivated, very much a part of that offense.
I guess it depends on how long Sanchez is out for.
Yeah, it's true. But Ramsey will still be playing, I think, even when Sanchez comes back.
Yeah, but I mean, they're away to Aston Villa, but then they're home to Man City and away to Southampton the 2 weeks after that. And I know that those are very – God, I just realized that away to Southampton match 3 weeks from now is the day after Christmas. I cannot believe we're like this far into December.
Oh, my God, I have to go shopping. what am I going to get you?
So yeah, really, I know, better be good. I think so. Ramsey,
I'm going to get you a Hazard jersey.
I like it. Yeah, that would really twist the knife. I mean, and Ramsey only has one. He only has one good game so far. I know he'll look good.
That's true. It is a little knee jerk. It is a little, and he's at 8. He's at 8.0. So it's not like a bargain.
Cheap. No, it's not really a bargain. Now you could bring in Coutinho or De Bruyne.
Yeah, or again, let me draw your attention to Spurs' upcoming fixtures. And I think Christian Eriksen is going to have some – I predict. I'm basing this on no data. Mm-hmm. But I predict that Christian Eriksen is going to have a productive Christmas fixture.
So I guess that – so is there anything you want to say about Bournemouth? I mean, they didn't look very good, and they scored a complete fluke goal.
Nope.
I mean, I'm happy for them, I guess. Still think they're going to go down, but, you know, hey, like, they're out of the relegation spots right now, so, you know, good for them.
Yeah, I guess my only other lingering question from game week 15 is there any poor soul out there who still owns Graziano Pelle?
Oh, yeah, he really killed Southampton that game. He really had an off day.
Yeah. All right, so we have a few more questions from the Facebook page and from Twitter. This one comes from Jim Payne. He says, is Mahrez a must-have now? Worth waiting a few game weeks to get to a softer fixture run for him?
Yep, Mahrez is a must-have, as we already talked about.
Jim, I'm wondering where you've been for the first 15 weeks of this FPL season.
I think Jim, because we've talked to Jim on the Twitters before, and I think he might be in his first year in the league, so he may not have jumped on Mahrez.
Fair play, Jim. So if this is your first time playing the game, this is a telltale sign of a must-have player.
Yeah, he's too cheap not to have. I mean, you know, like, it's fun to talk about whether Aguero is a must-have player because he's so expensive that, like, basically Aguero is worth, like, his price is two Mahrezes.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think it literally is, right? What is Mahrez? I mean, maybe Mahrez is up to, like, 7 million now.
Yeah.
But you will never find better value. I mean, he's 6.8 million, so he's almost two Agueros. I mean, it's equivalent to Harry Kane last year. I mean, also, you need to own him. It's not even about his points, but his ownership is so high.
It's an insurance policy to get him on your team.
Yeah, he's owned by, you know, something like, what is it? I actually have it here. He's owned by 61.4% of the league overall. His ownership in the top, like, let's say 10K. Well, his ownership in the top 10K is like 90%. And the top 100K, it's probably around 90% as well. So almost everybody has him. So if he has a big week, you're just going to drop so far in the overall rankings that it's not worth not having it. It's too dangerous not to have him.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they actually have some really tough fixtures coming up, but Leicester has they scored against Man U, they scored two against Arsenal, they scored away to Stoke, they scored against Tottenham, they scored against West Ham, so I'm definitely not that concerned about their ability to score even against tough opposition.
Yeah. All right, Josh, what do you say we just jump into the optimizer real quick for game week 16?
Oh, yeah. Wait, did we get to all our questions here, Brendan? Justin Hargett asks, which Chelsea assets should I pick up this week?
Well, that's an interesting question from our good friend Justin Hargett. would you like to take that one? I mean, we determined that Justin should not pick up Oscar this week.
Yes. I think the answer is easy. We should pick up no Chelsea assets this week.
A lot of burned Dave Aspilicueta fans out there.
Yeah. I actually think he's joking with me too. Into the optimizer. Yeah,
cool, Josh. I think we've done enough. I think we've said enough. Of course, you can still send us questions at our Twitter handle @HailCheaters, or on our Facebook page. Which I have to be honest, Josh, we kind of have a measly following on Facebook.
Tell a friend.
Yeah,
we got to get that up a little bit.
Tell a friend to like our page.
Twitter's not so bad, but yeah, Facebook, we need a little growth.
All right. So it's always great to hear from you cheaters out there. But let's dispense with that. We're now all about game week 16. Let's get into the optimizer.
All right, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Hold on. Let me get my seatbelt on. There we go. Let's optimize. Game week 16. Take us through the running order, Josh. Who's up first?
Okay, first fixture. And I think you and I are going to go watch this at the bar, are we not?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about it until this very moment, but I'm already committed.
7:45, looks like I'm going to be all in this fixture with three Everton players, and it is Norwich-Everton. Norwich are hosting Everton at Carrow Road.
Yeah, and Norwich has not been spectacular, Diamersi Mobokani aside, the last month or so. You'd expect Lukaku to keep up his reign of fire in the Premier League.
I would. Everton have to really be reeling right now from their last two draws. So they should have 6 points from these two matches, and now they're at 22 points. They really should be at 26.
Lukaku is just in incredible form right now. He is in constant motion toward the goal.
Yeah, he probably should have had a hat trick in this match. Two goals. And, you know, and really, I mean, they're just – the whole offense is set up to feed him the ball too. I mean, it's really – you got to give credit to Roberto Martinez, because they're really like, it's just all about those crosses from De La Feu and Seamus Coleman and Ross Barkley. I mean, like the whole attack is just feed Lukaku the ball. So he'll find a way to score.
Yeah. And, I also fear for Norwich, because it seems a certainty now that George R. Russell Martin is just working full time on his next Game of Thrones book.
I know. It's very sad. And Dea Mercy Mbakani didn't come on the bench. Didn't come off the bench, I don't think, either, which is a bit of a howler, if you ask me.
My God. So there's really nothing to root for in this Norwich team right now.
Actually, you know what? Dea Mercy Mbakani did come on in the in that Watford match. He played 45 minutes.
Oh. How many goals did he score?
He scored 5 goals.
Guys, on a roll.
Wasn't enough that I lost 6-5.
He's so under the radar sometimes. All right, so predictions here. I would say Everton, this will be my clean sheet pick of the week. If you'll remember, if we're keeping score at home, last week for a clean sheet of the week, who did you pick, Josh?
I picked Chelsea.
And I picked Man United, so that's a point for BK.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a point against you. So I'm going to pick Everton clean sheet this week.
Okay, I like that. I think Norwich can be a little dangerous at home. I think this is another draw. I'm going to predict a 2-2 draw.
Okay, interesting.
With another goal from Barkley and a goal from Lukaku. So very, very original of me.
How's De La Feu going to look in this game?
Oh, I'm sure he's going to get like 5 more assists that don't count for some stupid reason. I can't even talk about the De La Feu thing.
De La Feu is just like a slightly better version of how I was describing Jordan Ibe. He gets the ball down on the corner. He does about 500.
No, De La Feu is fantastic. He's playing so well this year. He's just not getting the. He should have assists in 3 straight games, and he's actually set players up to score even more. Kone has like fluffed like 3 opportunities from De La Feu.
He's too self-aware a player.
I don't like all the stepovers either. I think it's stupid and showy and unnecessary. But I do think he's a great player.
All right,
let's keep going. Yeah, I'm gonna get upset again.
All right. Up next, we've got Crystal Palace, Southampton. Interesting game. Southampton is in really terrible shape right now, having trouble scoring, having trouble keeping clean sheets.
Yep. I think Crystal Palace might win this game. I was really disappointed with how Southampton looked. I mean, really the last 2 games, right? Because they lost 6-1 to Liverpool at midweek and really didn't take it to. I felt like they it was one of those games where it felt like they just assumed they were going to score at some point. Like there was no urgency in their attack and they kind of left the game out there for somebody to take. And so Aston Villa took it. And, in the end, they were able to score an equalizer, kind of a weird equalizing goal, too. Like a goal that had no fantasy implications. Like nobody had
James Ward-Prowse to Romelu.
Exactly. And nobody has any Aston Villa defenders either. So it's just like, it meant nothing, basically. It was just, So
it's like if James Ward-Prowse assists a goal, does the goal really even exist?
Yeah, exactly. So I think, but Crystal Palace, I thought they looked okay today. Their defense is better than advertised. They played pretty solid. I mean, they were missing Zaha for suspension, so I think that hurt things a little bit. Bolasie looked pretty good. They just need a striker, really. They just need somebody. I mean, Connor Wickham is just such an awful player.
Benteke to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I don't know why Patrick Bamford. I don't know why Patrick Bamford can't get a run in this team.
All right, he's a Chelsea player, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, and he played for Borough last year, and he was excellent. I think he's one of the best players in their team.
Yeah, I agree. I do really like Crystal Palace in this game. I think it'll be 3-1 Crystal Palace.
All right, so let's move on to a more interesting fixture: Man City Swansea. So you may have Aguero in this match. I may have De Bruyne.
Yeah, I would love to have a fit Aguero here and slap the armband on him and see what happens, come what may. It would be a chance.
Yeah, this is a game. I guess it depends on what we see in the Champions League. I'm a little worried that De Bruyne might get a rest at some point. That's my only concern about.
He's been playing every minute of every game nonstop. something. Yeah, I
know. He's pretty young, though, too. You know, he's like 22, 23. I mean, he's at the age where he can basically play nonstop. So I'm not too concerned about it. I think he didn't play, you know, I think he came on off the bench early on in that for Man City, too. So his legs are still pretty fresh, I think. But, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I think it's probably an easy Man City win. The thing is, Gary Monk really shouldn't get fired if they lose. You know, I know he's kind of hanging on by a thread right now.
Right.
If you can't make a decision based on this game, though, right? I mean, if they – like, I guess if they lost, like, 8-0 and the players clearly quit and the manager and you know, like that, then you could do it. But if it's, like, a tough, like, 2-0 win for Man City – I don't know why you would fire him, you know? I don't know. So,
well, when do you fire him? I guess the following week at home at the Liberty Stadium to West Ham if they lose that game.
That would be it, I guess. Yeah, but I just mean, you know, yeah, so we'll see. I actually think Man City, I mean, well, it's
just getting worse and worse for Gary Monk because it's getting closer and closer to Christmas. I want the Monk household to at least have some time to recuperate in time for the holidays.
I agree. So
fire the man right on fireman Boxing Day.
All right. Let's say I'm going to say 3-0 Man City.
Yeah, that sounds good.
OK. Sunderland, Watford. Oh, we didn't even talk about Watford. I'm kind of sick about not having a Watford goal. I don't know if you feel the same way, but watching these guys score every week, it's
Troy Deeney and Ighalo. It's kind of fun. I've not gotten close to getting either of those players for whatever reason. So I guess because I've never emotionally come into contact with Ighalo or Deeney, it hasn't really fazed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just can't believe that Ighalo can't stop scoring. It's so remarkable. Yeah, I mean, I mostly give them credit too. I mean, I'm into it, you know? I mean, I think it's cool. I mean, Watford is, I mean, they're only 7 points off the Champions League spots, you know? I mean, like, they're having a great season and they're kind of an interesting team to root for. And so, yeah, I mean, they're more fun to watch than Sunderland, that's for sure.
Yeah, then, I mean, does the party stop after this week, though, against Sunderland? Because then they have Liverpool and then a whole mess of trouble after that, starting game week 16.
I mean, it's like we said with the Leicester players. Like, I guess eventually you would think it will. I mean, we thought eventually that Jamie Vardy would stop scoring, and I guess he finally did. We think that Mesut Ozil will finally go a game without an assist. That one hasn't happened yet, although he did... Let's say
he traded an assist for a goal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost
attacking
the same
points.
Yeah, so eventually we will have a run where Ighalo does not have a goal and an assist in like 12 points. But it does seem like it's still a ways off. So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, certainly you would have to really consider strongly captaining Ighalo in this game if you had him, right?
Yeah. I mean, can I pick Ighalo as my sub 8.0 striker to score a goal this week? Because I think I will.
Almost feels like cheating, but I will allow it.
Yeah, I don't know. It should be a tight game. Sunderland has been playing great defense under Allardyce recently.
That is true.
And Watford will be on the road. It'll be tight. I think maybe a 1-1 draw. Maybe Sunderland ekes it out 2-1.
That is true. I mean, I do think that we're seeing a much better Sunderland the last few weeks. And so, you know, you don't want to just have that Sunderland mindset of the first few weeks of the season where
it is incredible, like how dire it was for Sunderland the first couple of months, and now they seem to have settled pretty quickly.
I think Watford's actually going to beat Sunderland in this match. I'm going to guess 2-1. Just they always concede a penalty, so I'm going to pick Troy Deeney as my goal scorer of the week.
All right, I love it.
All right, West Ham, Stoke.
Great. I would love to see Stoke continue their crazy run of continental form here. Yeah, West Ham is a little devastated with injury right now.
I'm thinking for these 10 o'clock fixtures, I may only have like two players to watch.
This is going to be like an entire grouping of Purina Puppy Chow Pure Watch games.
It really is. It's a lot of Pure Watches. I mean, it almost makes me inclined. Have you ever done? I always feel so bad when I do this, but every now and then I will make a transfer. Like if it's like 50-50 between two players, and one is playing a match that I can watch, and one is playing a match that I know won't be able to watch, mm-hmm. I tend to bring in the player who I will be able to watch.
That's madness.
You know, it's just fun. It's just more fun. I know it's not the logical way to think about things, but so anyway.
I always thought you played to win. You didn't play for fun.
Well, it's like if all things being equal, which yeah. I know they never are, but just, you know, some, you know, if you can't decide, you know, if you're like, oh, like I want De Bruyne and I want Hazard. I can't decide who to bring in. And you're like, well, I could actually watch that match.
Yeah.
You know, so. All right. So West Ham Stoke. I think Stoke will win this match 1-0 on a Winston Reid own goal. Going to keep his run of misery going.
Fair enough. I'll go with your prediction there.
Okay.
All right. Bournemouth, Man United.
How does 0-0 draw sound to you, Brandon?
It sounds wildly exciting. Can Man United be a part of that?
I mean, this is the 12:30 match, so we're really going to have a tough choice at whether we stay to watch this match. The argument would be that it'd be
get cheeseburgers somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Because what sounds more fun to you? And I'm saying this because I haven't had dinner yet tonight. A tasty cheeseburger or a Man United team that is determined not to let anybody score at the cost of never scoring themselves.
Yeah, I'd take the cheeseburger 9 times out of 10.
I know. Yeah, 57 burger.
Just depends on what did I have for breakfast.
Well, you had a cheeseburger.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it'd be 2 cheeseburgers.
That's great. Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with 0-0 draw.
All right.
And I'll make Simon Francis my clean sheet of the week.
Very interesting.
I'm making a bold choice here.
Memphis Depay scores in this game. 2-0. Man United.
Yeah, two own goals. 2-0 Bournemouth.
All right. Take us to Sunday.
Yeah. So Sunday, the early morning game is Aston Villa Arsenal. Arsenal on the road, Aston Villa. Interestingly enough, this was a match that Ozil had a great game in last year. I remember away to Aston Villa. I think he had a goal and an assist, maybe even 2 assists. Mm-hmm. It was kind of the first big game for Arsenal last season after kind of a rough start, if I remember correctly. So that means nothing, of course, but just I wanted to impress you with my knowledge of Arsenal history.
Uh-huh.
I think Arsenal will win this game pretty easily. I think Micah Richards is still out. I was impressed with Aston Villa's ability to snatch a point away to Southampton.
Yeah, much needed.
They looked okay. I mean, it wasn't like it was inspiring. Like they looked fine. You know, it was. I mean, like you know, they scored that you know that Lescott goal. It was only in the game because.
Micah Richards is out.
Because Micah Richards was out. But, yeah. You know, so, you know,
he must be terrible if he only gets in with Richards being on the bench. I'm
really surprised by that. Yeah.
He seemed like a great transfer for experience and leadership, Julian Lescott coming in. I'm surprised he's not played.
I agree. And so
he must be a real asshole.
Or something. So I think 2-0 Arsenal. I don't think this will be like a huge blowout game, but I do think they'll win. I think they'll give a clean sheet too.
All right. My first prediction for this game is that Mesut Ozil gets an assist off of his head.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. A headed assist.
My second prediction is that Arsenal wins this game 4-1.
Interesting. Okay. Yep. They've been conceding a lot of goals recently. All right. So the next fixture is Liverpool at home to West Brom. Seems like a game that I think West Brom will set up. Tony Pulis is a good coach, and he'll be ready for this Liverpool attack, I think. I don't think it'll make a difference, but I do think Liverpool will win. But can't you just see this being a game that's like a little more frustrating than you expect?
Yeah.
You know, like on the one hand, you're like, oh, like they're going to destroy him. But I think Liverpool is at this time, they're actually set up better to play against teams that are about as good as they are. You know, it's easier for them to beat good teams right now than it is for them to beat bad teams.
Right.
Because good teams are trying to score, and that's when the gegenpress style really, like, they're sort of pressing, and they're not, like, but because the other team isn't, like, keeping a bunch of guys back, it's, you know.
Yeah, the team has to be playing a higher line, I suppose. I wonder if there is a team like West Brom or a coach like Tony Pulis in the Bundesliga.
I don't know. I'd like to find out though.
I think this will be an interesting game because I'm sure Klopp will be very interested in righting the wrongs of that Newcastle game. I think he's going to come out wanting to win and make a point here.
Although it will be right after a Europa League game too. I think they've already clinched their spot in the next round, so I don't know how essential that match is, but they will have played in that, and sometimes, you know, there's that post-Europa League hangover.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see. All right, next match is Spurs home to Newcastle. Very excited about this one because I plan to captain Harry Kane.
Yeah, nice. This is the reason you brought him in.
It kind of was. I mean, I did think that there was a chance I'd get something from him in that West Brom game, and he really was kind of absent. But I feel pretty good about this one.
Did you watch any of that Spurs game? I didn't watch any.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. The Dele Alli goal was a really nice goal, too.
I see the highlight there. That was fantastic. Toby Alderweireld looks incredible.
Great value, too. I think he's still not even that expensive. And I think
5.6 or 5.7.
Yeah, which isn't so bad. I mean, considering what you're getting from him, which is, you know, clean sheets and attacking threat.
Yeah, no, he would be the must-have in that Spurs defense.
Yeah, for sure. So I think I'm going to guess 3-0 Spurs. That's my prediction.
This is a tempting transfer target to turn Vardy into Harry Kane here.
You're looking at Vardy now, too. This is crazy.
I'm looking to dump Vardy for Kane. This is just too plum a fixture.
Wow, I'm sure that seems very rash to me.
Well, it could be. Tell me why you think it's rash.
Because we've been talking on every podcast the last several weeks about how you just can't let go of Jamie Vardy until he goes a game without bringing you attacking points. I mean, I know he had only an assist in the last fixture, but I mean, home to a Chelsea team that isn't looking very good right now.
It's not good enough. An assist, you're gone. You're out. If you bring anything less than a goal to my FPL squad, you're out the next week. Those are the rules, buddy. Hit the road.
Only Mbappé stays.
Anyway, it's under consideration. I'll tell you
sure,
that. I'll
sure, fair
that.
Enough. Okay, and the final fixture is on Monday, and that is Leicester hosting Chelsea. Very interesting. I'm very excited about this match.
Yeah, this would be another Purina Puppy Chow Pure Watch for the week.
Very tempting. Down. Yeah, tempting to go find a place to. Like, it's very tempting to have a doctor's appointment or something on Monday at 4 o'clock next week.
Yeah, it's just like this feels like the perfect fixture for Jose Mourinho's narrative right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because to lose to Leicester, in Chelsea's situation, to lose to a Leicester City that is leading the league would just be such an interesting twist to the tale.
It would be. I mean, I'm not even sure who's favored to win this game.
It's sort of like the
Leicester
battle.
Haven't
of the,
played all the top teams. I mean, yeah. You know, they still haven't played. I don't think they played Man City or Liverpool yet, have they? They played Arsenal, Man United, and Spurs.
Yeah.
Although the table is so weird this year, then like what?
What does that even mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? I mean, Crystal Palace is in sixth place. You know, it's a weird time for the league. But they have played, I guess, two of the top four teams at this point. I wouldn't be shocked if Chelsea won this match. I mean, they shipped 5 goals at home to Arsenal several weeks back, and you know Chelsea's. So I don't know. I think it'll be a really interesting match. I think it'll be pretty open. I think this could be like a. You never know with these Monday night games, though. You know, I don't know. I'm gonna say like. I mean, obviously we're just guessing anyway, right? No one's making gambling picks based on this stuff. But
no, please don't.
I'm gonna pick a 3-2 Chelsea win.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. It's a battle of underachiever versus the overachiever, and the gut says that Chelsea wins this game. The gut does.
Okay, and so, all right, so just to recap, who is your clean sheet player of the week, and what is your sub-8 goal scorer of the week?
Well, Everton is my clean sheet of the week. Do I have to pick a player?
Pick a player.
Just a team?
Yeah, pick a player.
All right, I'll pick Funes Mori.
Okay, and I've got Troy Deeney. And I have Simon Francis.
Okay. My attacker, who was it?
Igalo. You had a very creative one. Yeah, Igalo.
Well, one of us is going to get an assist, and one of us is going to get a goal. That much we know for sure.
Yeah, and if you start taking like a 20-9 head-to-head matchup on me, I think we're going to start like betting some money on these or something just to keep a little juice going.
All right, so that's the optimizer. Good luck in game week 16, everybody.
Good luck to you, Brandon.
Thank you. And we have a plug that we want to make before we sign off. Josh, you were on another podcast this week.
Yeah, I was. I was on a podcast called The Big Game Podcast. It's Well, I mean, anybody could listen to it, but particularly if you're an American listener, you might like the podcast. Every week he focuses on whatever sort of the biggest, most talked about match was that week.
And he being the host, Justin Hargett, our good friend.
Yep. And he – exactly. And a long-time friend of both of ours. And he had me on. I was talking about the Big Ten championship match where Michigan State played Iowa, and they won in a dramatic game. You and I both watched it.
What a game.
What an amazing game.
It was really sensational.
So I talked about that, and I talked a little bit about what it's like to go to a big state school in America, because it's very hard not to become a big football fan if you go to a school like that, because it's just so
everyone's so into it. So there's an sociological element to this particular episode of the Big Game.
A little bit. I don't know if he planned it to be that way, but I like
– He sort of wrestled control of his podcast from him.
I can't help myself. You know, I like – Once I start talking about college sports versus pro sports, I get very flowery and sort of
philosophical.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the Big Game podcast. Check it out.
All right, that's me signing off. I'll sign off for you too, Josh. Do you mind?
I do mind actually.
All right, you have anything else to say?
Nope. For Brandon, I'm Josh. Hail cheaters.
Poku forever.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.